I'd like to start with the scripture from St. Matthew's Gospel. The very end of St. Matthew's Gospel. Something all of us are probably quite familiar with. It's our Lord Jesus' great commandment to the church before he ascends on high. Chapter 20, and I'll start at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We are captured by these words that the Lord speaks. We seek to understand them, to baptize all nations, all peoples, all cultures, not political borders, but all peoples. The missionaries that go out, they bring reports of where the gospel has spread to. They say, we've reached this people group, or just barely reached them, we've made contact, or we've kind of preached the gospel and people are starting to understand, or the people have received the gospel of Jesus Christ and they've integrated it into their lives, their towns and communities, their way of life. Here in America, we've accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has been integrated into our way of life. Indeed, it was a part of the beginnings of our way of life. It is there in our DNA. It is there in the generations. Perhaps maybe we need to re-realize the gospel of Jesus Christ and live it in our families, in our communities. So we hear these final words of Christ at the end of his earthly ministry. At the beginning of his earthly ministry, we see his baptism, the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptizer, marks the beginning of his earthly ministry. The one through whom all things were created is now actively seeking to save humanity as one of us. After his immersion in the Jordan, he'll go out and be tested in the wilderness for 40 days. This experience, this rite of baptism, this initiation into Christ and the Holy Spirit for new believers, this is born first out of the Jewish understanding of baptism. They have the pools of water called mikvahs. Before they entered the temple, this served various purposes. So first, it was very practical, right? They were dusty. Their hands and their feet were dusty. They needed to clean off, so it served for that. It also was a ritual to become clean, to leave unrighteousness, sin, and uncleanness outside, so that they may seek the divine presence of the Lord. One commentary mentions that the water is twofold. First, it is a boundary to the divine presence, but then it is also the roadway to the divine presence. You look at the man and woman in American culture who decides that they need a higher power and they need God, but they really don't understand him, and they certainly don't understand what's going on in the Bible or with religion in the churches these days. It's kind of dusty, it's kind of antiquated, you may not use that word, or maybe they do. But does it really talk to me? Is it just kind of moral policing? Do I need a moral police in my home for my children? Is this what I need? Maybe they don't understand the baptism that Christ is going to bring, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He will baptize with spirit and with fire. Maybe at some point things get difficult. Maybe there's an illness. Maybe your child is in trouble. Maybe the world around them isn't what they thought it was anymore. Maybe then they meet our Lord. Maybe they gaze upward and inward and seek Jesus Christ. Maybe they seek to know what this is really all about. maybe at that point, the waters and the ritual and the rite of baptism now is no longer a boundary, but a pathway and the way in our Lord to the divine presence of God. See, Jesus changes the equation. Before, it was a reorientation. Let's ethically kind of change our behavior, look to be obedient to the law, ethically reorienting ourselves to justice and to mercy. John the Baptizer changes things a little bit. His is a little sharper, isn't it? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is sharper language he uses. Judgment is imminent. We can change things and try to live a better life a little at a time, day by day. John says, no, the time is now. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The time to repent is now. The change is here. Prepare in the way of the Lord. Jesus, the Messiah, is coming. There he comes, walking into the waters, to submit himself humbly to be baptized by this man. Came to baptize, Jesus came to baptize with the Spirit, with fire. It's Martin Luther who would make the analogy of communion with Christ as a wrought iron that is put into the fire. We are that wrought iron, and that as we sit, we're either burned by or with the Holy Spirit of God, right? So we don't want to be burned by it. But we do want to burn with him. We want to understand his love for us. God's attributes can shine through us if we receive the Lord. We can persevere through our trials, knowing we don't walk through them alone. Knowing that his love walks next to us, is with us. Are we willing to follow him into the waters of baptism? This baptism of love into Christ Jesus. St. Paul will tell us it's not just a baptism of love to be thought of just as that. It's a baptism into Christ's death. For without the death, there's no resurrection. He had to walk to the cross. He had to give himself and through his blood. So through his death, we are dying. Our old self, our fallen nature dies. The old ways we let go of, we try to let go of, can we do it? We're going to need some help. We're going to need the Lord. We're going to need his love and his Spirit. We're going to need his atoning sacrifice on the cross. We can't get away from it. We need to come through the waters and to the foot of the cross where we lay it down. We lay our sin down. He laid his life down. Should we not do the same as he? But it's a spiritual sacrifice. Does he ask us to die on the cross with him? He's gained the victory for us on the cross. He asks us to make a spiritual sacrifice, as Paul will say in Romans. But he says we're not returning again in Romans chapter 8 to a spirit of fear. We've embraced the love of God. Now we're walking with him. We're not going back to a spirit of fear at every trial, or we see the world crumbling around us, or where there's illness and our children are in trouble. We're not to fear. Why would we fear? The Lord of all creation is on our side. Surely he is with us even unto the end of the world. Nothing can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. But sometimes it's hard to remember that. And sometimes it's hard to live that out. I grew up in just north of Boston, Massachusetts. Grew up in a Congregational Methodist Church. You had to climb the steps to get up to the pulpit. You had to climb up into the choir loft where Mom was up there playing the organ. I grew up in the choir. And I heard the messages. And I believed in our Lord from an early age. But then I would go home, and the message was not the same at home. See, Dad was from a Roman Catholic family, grew up in Montreal. They believed in the church. They believed in our Lord. but they didn't believe in really sharing their faith with others. And I'm not sure how much they shared their faith within their own home, even. And then Mom was in the Midwest in Indiana, Indianapolis. She was playing the organ at 11 years old in downtown church in Indianapolis, Robert Parks Congregational Methodist Church. They gave their tithe every week, and they were faithful to sing in the choir without fail. They were school teachers. But when they came together and started to bring the next generation into this, to share their faith and what they'd learned in their experience, there was some friction. There was some friction. They were trying to keep food on the table. How do we serve our Lord and keep food on the table at the same time? There was a lot of questions, and there was a lot of arguing. I remember days, and I just recently spoke with my sister about this. There were days where we lay in our beds, and we heard arguing, and we heard the anger, and we felt afraid. The baptism of love of our Lord was in the church, but it wasn't in the home. And that place of fear and anxiety is a small place. You can't see very far ahead. In fact, you're kind of stuck behind, anticipating the next thing going wrong, the next pitfall, the next same old, the usual go-tos to fill in the God-shaped hole, which won't be filled in by anything but the truth. But from that small place, our Lord Jesus asks us, if you will, I'll meet you there. I'll meet you in that place of pain and difficulty, whatever it is. For in this life there will be trouble for all of us. And we all fall short of the glory of God. But our Lord understands our need. He knows every hair on our head. And he will meet us in that place of pain if we will let him. Ask him to walk with us there. Will we let him into our hearts and follow him into the waters of baptism? Will we share our fears and anxieties with him? St. Paul says in Philippians to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I think this is what he means. He knows we're fallen. He knows we're hurting. He knows we're wounded. But yet his love is greater. Work it out. Not on your own ability, but work it out with him at your side. Look at your picture of footprints, and the footprints in the sand. Know he's there to carry you. Look at all the devotions that we go through season after season, and embrace his spirit of love into our life, that we may live eternal life with him, the greater reality that God speaks of. This great commandment in the Great Commission to baptize all nations, he points to a different reality than the fallen world. And sometimes I wonder how to get there. Sometimes I think about how I can get there more fully today. And I think this baptism that he invites us to leave our brokenness behind. He invites us to leave all these questions and confusions and our sin behind and let them be nailed to the cross. Because that's what he came here to do. He was born to die on the cross to show us the way to a new life, a life full of his love that we can share with others. So when we're baptized, when we make a commitment, when we say yes to the Lord, we can then share that love of Christ with others and bring them into this place because we are all thirsty for his love. We can cross over into his love. In the name of the Father, Son,